everybody, and welcome to Rob's or Baghdad. I'm Albie, in full 4K video now, joining you, DJ. Hi, DJ.
I think I need some glasses, because something seems spotty to me.
You don't think 4K? I mean, this is what it looks like. This is what peak performance in video looks like. I don't know if you know that. 4K, we're working on 8K. Listen, it just came out. 8K, so we're working on that.
Never mind.
This is the highest quality stream you're going to see on the internet. Isn't that right, Mary?
What about this? Is this higher quality?
Yeah.
Probably not. No. It's okay. A shitty Logitech, but whatever. I don't know. I don't believe you with the 4K. It's blurry.
Ow. And like 4K can't be blurry, right? Like, I mean, come on now. Have you seen one of the TV brands, the worst TV brand, use that. Somebody use that joke. Fill that pieces in for that joke. Thanks. Also here, Jake.
If you want to talk, I was going to say ahead. For 4K video, there's this dude that uploads just walking around Japan videos in 4K, and they are very relaxing and cool. So yeah, sorry. That's all I wanted to say. That's true 4K. You can see the bunny girls walking down the street. That actually happened in one of the videos. And I was like, what the fuck?
Okay.
But yeah, I was like, that's for real? That's a real thing that happens? Apparently it is.
Strange, but cool. All right, cool. And Jake. Hi, Jake.
That's me. Hello.
Hi. Are we in 4K? Can you confirm?
As no.
Well. Okay. I don't know. That no.
1080p, I think, is what I'm streaming out right now.
Oh, okay. Well, then you can't really see the full glory of my 4K. See, you're gonna have to judge off of your own. You know. It's downscaling.
Is that gonna be your excuse?
Yeah, that's. We're gonna go with that. How do you feel about that? Well, end user doesn't always get the best product, I'm just saying. High quality Albie over here. This is episode 176 of Roms Are Baghdad. We're getting old. All of our jokes are old. We're all old now. Wizened by time. I've got a beard. You just can't see it. It's underneath the microphone right now, but it is extremely Fu Manchu. You just don't know. It's very long. Luxurious. Fu Manchu mustache, right? What's the one that goes off the chin? It's a Fu Manchu?
I think it's Fu Manchu.
Is this one, right?
Yeah.
No,
but
right,
it's like
right.
Extends.
Goes down.
Yeah.
Yeah, and goes, yeah.
Why is that a thing with, like, wisdom being in, like, having really long old man beards? Where does that come from? Somebody give me a... What do you think?
It means you're old. Like, you had enough time to grow out that long ass beard, and you don't give shit anymore because you're old. So.
Wow.
Yep. The old and wise. People associate that.
Like,
life experience.
Viking beards are easy to come by, especially in the metal community, because it's like what I just showed. It's like you just being lazy on like your underbeard and growing it out. But like a Fu Manchu like is kind of an extension of your mustache, and those take ages to grow once they're pretty full.
Hmm. Okay.
Plus, you need 140 IQ plus to grow them.
Oh.
Yeah, it's required.
Yeah.
You gotta fill out paperwork and shit beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Stricter than Mensa.
Wow. Anybody here in Mensa? Just to ask. Give me a hotline on how to get in Mensa? I just want to, I don't know. If somebody had a hookup, I'm just saying.
Mensa.org.
You take standardized tests for fun on the internet. That's what I've heard. That basically, that's how you become a Mensa member. You have fun doing the SAT type tests, and it's
I don't like that at all.
That's not fun at all.
I don't like that at all.
Isn't that like,
I did terribly on my SATs.
Is your SATs the like punch thing, like ABCD, like you fill in a square?
Those are Scantron. That's
Is that the same thing though?
Different
Scantron
sections.
Is just like a method of submitting test scores.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the SATs are the standard aptitude test.
Sure.
You
standardized aptitude test, something like that.
You do fill in bubbles and stuff like that, but we're not talking, like, it's not graded to a system. Like, it's not.
It's not multiple choice. It's like.
Some of the questions are.
I believe there's an essay portion as well, like, for it.
Critical reading.
I took
reading.
A long time ago.
That's Mary I got. Has 22 bananas. Solve for X. Yep. Show you're working.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's. Mary is a banana seller. If I know one thing about her, she loves a hoe girl and bananas. I mean, that's number one and two, really. Just loves that anime about bananas. It's.
Oh, God. Don't make me think of that.
Even I forgot about that link. Jesus.
Well, you're not on the anime podcast anymore, so you wouldn't recognize these jokes. See? I should be in Mensa. That's how smart I am. I got these jokes for days. I don't know if you know that.
I bet there are a lot of anime reference jokes being told in Mensa meetings, though. Because
all the time.
Yeah.
Probably, actually,
huge anime fan club. You don't even understand. They're very smart. Only people.
Insufferable nerds. Yes, sounds about right.
Yeah. Yep.
Strangely,
right.
They all hang out on Reddit for some reason. It's just, it's very strange. I don't know. It's great. Yeah. Well, speaking of hanging out on Reddit, I was hanging out on Reddit when I heard about a little video game called Call of Duty Modern Warfare. I don't remember if there's any suffix.
There's not. Nope. They're just trying to reboot. Yeah.
Just ignore the man in the hallway. Call of Duty Modern Warfare. It's a reboot. Something of the Modern Warfare.
Imagining?
Kind of. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, sort of.
Like, it's different. So, I think the first thing is, I had fun with it. I think generally, if you go in expecting, you know, like I don't keep up with Call of Duty very often anymore, but if you go in expecting just, like, some fun and you have low expectations like I did, I think they've done a nice job this time around in making it, like, feel like the old games that were good called Modern Warfare. Like, it feels like the guns have a very nice weight to them that you feel it. Explosions are very good. Like, I like the pistol sound especially. Like, it was got some punch to it. And it's just, I don't know, it feels pretty smooth. I know some people complained about the movement, and there were certainly some issues yesterday with some lag, but I played it again today, and it didn't seem to have that much of a problem with it. It was early, so it might have been that too. So take into consideration, there may be some lag stuff going on, but overall, I was just impressed with, like, hey, this is a video game. This is what this feels like, liking a Call of Duty. I remember. That's cool.
This is a video game. It sure is a video game that they made.
They made a video game. And then I went into Gunfight, and I went into, the heck is it, Battle Zone? Battle War Zone? Something
Ground
like that.
War?
Ground
is that
War.
What you did?
And I was perplexed. Perplexed, I say, by the strangeness of those two game modes. First off, Gunfight, if you don't know, it's 2v2. There are guns scattered on the map that you have to run and grab, and you have to score to 5. It was just such a strange game mode of, like, running, grabbing a gun, and, like, doing that kind of stuff. But at the same
tactical.
Time, it was, like, tactical. Yeah, I was like, is this the esports game mode they're adding into this? Is this what they want to take off and be, like, esports? It kind of felt that way. Sort of dig it, sort of don't.
I mean, traditionally, a 2v2 game is not going to be...
No.
That's true. And then you also have Battlefield? There's Battlefield in this game?
So is that what that Ground War is?
It's Battlefield. There are vehicles. Oh. There are capture points. There is probably, I think it's 50 versus 50, it might be. It was some large number. It was at least 25. I didn't stop to count the entire amount of people in that game mode, and it's just straight up Battlefield. You're running to capture points. There are, like, armored personnel carriers rocking around, guys on, like, motorcycles, like the Battlefield moped kind of things, riding around, and it's just, it's bizarre. As somebody that's, that like, played a lot of Call of Duty, that they're just like, yeah, we're gonna make Battlefield now as a game mode. Just, you know, Battlefield. I don't hate it, but at the same time, I was shocked by it. I just didn't expect such a thing, personally.
Does it play well?
Like, yeah.
Can they translate the very quick time
that's
to
not very
kill,
convincing
that COD has and their tiny maps into a bigger zone and have it play well?
So, my one complaint is the zones, a little bit. The time to kill, it does feel a little clustered at times, especially when you get to some of the big points where you're fighting a lot. I didn't play a full, like, I don't know, start to finish. I don't know how it would be. Like, I played a few games where I just dropped in kind of into the middle of a session in progress. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. You always know that if you're getting into a Call of Duty halfway through a match, it's usually going poorly for one side. So I don't want to necessarily say one way or the other with that kind of stuff. But, there are spots where you'll get, like, groups of people and then they'll kind of ram into each other, and that's, like, I don't know, not great. But at the same time, like, it's not, it's just a game mode, so it feels less, I don't know, I have less expectation for it. So for me, it worked fine, because it is just, like, this off-brand thing. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I would say it's free until Monday. I'd say give it a try. Actually, it's not a big download. I think it's only like 30, 40 gigs, maybe 60, something like that, somewhere between there and there. And it's fun. It's quick. It does a good job of like, hey, remember what Modern Warfare felt like? Remember what Call of Duty was like? It's good. I like it. Intense.
Does it feel like it has evolved in any way, or is it still just like Modern Warfare? Or, because, I mean, it is a reboot, so I would think they would have some new things in it.
It feels like the places they chose to, like, evolve it were very much in the presentation side of things, rather than, like, it's still, you're still going to feel like this is a Call of Duty game, but they evolved it in terms of, everything feels smoother as far as, like, menus, movement, things pop up and stuff like that. On-screen displays, sound, it's all that kind of stuff around the sides. They chose to, you know, we have a core structure. It's not like it's going to be super different in that regard, but it's very, very fine-tuned. It feels like they spent a lot of time in the development cycle looking at how we make this thing run smoother, like feel more cohesive. More like, hey, there's a, you know, you feel like when you get your UAV and stuff, and the kill streak menu feels more like in tune with how the game is going more. So it's, I don't know, it just seems to flow a little bit better in terms of all the menus and stuff like that. If that makes any sense at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. And the maps are, you know, I don't think they chose any particular great map this time around. They don't have a great Call of Duty map in this one so far. So, I don't know, it's different. Longer maps, larger maps, so there's more long-distance firing arcs you can shoot from a distance at people, which is good and bad.
Are the weapons still hit-scan?
I
don't know. I haven't sniped, so I don't know if there's a drop.
Or do they hit? Okay.
I have sniped. I think it's hit-scan still. I think. I'm not entirely sure, though.
Is there bullet drop?
There is bullet drop, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not hit scan.
Okay.
Okay.
For at least for a sniper. I don't know about the other guns, but there's definitely, you could shoot and it'll let go. Like there's definitely bullet drop this time around.
Like you can see it and like,
yeah,
arcing.
Yeah. Okay.
And they bounce off
so,
stuff.
Well, that's
and, like,
good. That's cool.
And stuff. And I think they've made different choices. Like I think they're going in a good direction because I think when Call of Duty was the best was when it was Modern Warfare. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. When Modern Warfare 2 came out, Call of Duty was the world beater. There was very few competitors for that game at that time. So, I don't know.
I would argue that Call of Duty 2 was better than 4, but I'm old. 4 was really good, though.
Yeah, 4 was really... I mean, I like Call of Duty 1. I think everybody likes Call of Duty 1. That's a great
game.
Yeah,
I played the shit out of Call of Duty 1 and 2, yeah. Call of Duty 2 was a big LAN party staple for me in the early 2000s.
Yeah. And I feel like...
Get a Big Red 1.
Big Red 1. Yeah. Everybody's favorite one to remember. Because it's...
It was like a PS2 exclusive, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the thing they're getting back to is, like, you know, the thing that made Call of Duty 1 good was, hey, man, the sound was just really well done. They did, like, good presentation stuff, and I think they're getting back to that a little bit. Go ahead, DJ.
Yeah, I haven't played Ground War at all because I didn't realize that is what Ground War was. Probably
we should play a little bit. Let's play a little bit after this podcast. I want to see your
impressions. The maps that they do have for the Team Deathmatch and the other generic, the standard stuff that you have, there's like 2 or 3 which are just really, really small. So even sniping doesn't seem like a viable strategy in that game because you turn a corner and odds are you are going to be in the danger zone finding another enemy immediately.
Yeah.
There's a British map that is so tiny it's almost immediate that you're fighting people. So it's interesting in that way, which I don't mind because I like a lot of like SMGs or quick running and gunning essentially almost immediately. I'm not a sniper person. So there's
not
lots
of
like...
Not a quick scoper? Okay.
No, sure. There's lots of like fun play that you can have with that of like trying to hold down a house knowing full well that there's 5 or 6 different entrances that people can come through and trying to defend it in some way. There's one map which I don't recall, but it's like an industrial zone. And there's a house right in the middle, and there's like 3 entrances, and it's my favorite little house to live in, because there's like you can plant a claymore on one of the entrances that you know they're roughly coming through, and then I just constantly run around with my shotgun, which is generally 1-hit kill. You don't even have to aim down sights at that thing, and it's always very satisfying.
Yeah, that shotgun you get early in the game is pretty goddamn good. Like it's just walk up on somebody and just ba-bang, ba-boom.
Yeah, a lot of the things they've like locked out still with the kill streak, so like care packages are still locked out, which is a shame.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the other like, but like there's the level 30 like ultimate kill streak called the Juggernaut, which you can still get if you want, and like some of the other higher tier ones. But like even in like these tiny maps, there's some which are like, hey, we'll call in this APC which has a turret on it, and like I really really want to see what that looks like in these tiny maps, because it just seems like it can barely move.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah. It's either going to be tiny and like not to scale whatsoever and hilarious that way, or to scale and like can move a couple of lanes and then get stuck.
It's like a couple of kids in like a refrigerator box.
Right, yeah.
That would be pretty good. Don't even lie. That'd be a good fucking kill streak, as a bunch of kids in a cardboard box.
But yeah, this game, compared to Blobs 4, they've removed a lot of the weird, like, bullshit of, like, classes and, like, play the character and here's their special and here's, like, 50 billion different guns and their special things that they do and here's, like, tracking that you have. I don't think you can even spot in this game anymore. I think it has to be a perk. They've reduced the, like, loadout system, so... Instead of having, like, pick 10 or here's X amount of points you can use, it's just, hey, here's the gun. As you use it, you'll level up shit and you can apply it. There's, like, no real limit to what you apply. You can load up, like, 8 things or you can load up 3. Some of the things have, like, deficiencies. Like, aim down sights are slower or you move slightly slower when aiming. But, yeah, it's, yeah. You can choose what you want, and I think that's fine because you're not worrying about, oh, what's my limits and stuff like that. You just pick something, you just make something that's good for you.
Yeah, so kind of going in, like, I had no expectations for this game. You know, I don't even know if I knew a Call of Duty was coming out this year. And like to have it be this, you know, very pleasant experience all together, and to remind me a lot of the kind of the best stuff of the Call of Duty franchise.
Yep.
It's, you know, I think it's probably the best game of Call of Duty I've played in the last decade, maybe. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's, I'm very interested in it compared to like any other COD game in the last like 8 to 10 years. It's
right.
One that I've like actively wanted to go. It's basically taking time away from Teamfight Tactics, which is,
why are you playing Teamfight?
Interesting, because I usually, that's my usual go-to of like, I don't sure. know what I'm gonna play. Yeah. I'm just gonna play a round of this. Now it's sort of a case of I'm playing some COD because it's a nice easy jump in and jump out as well.
I also see a lot of people online for it through the Battle.net thing, like, hey, World of Warcraft.
Right, yeah.
It's like, why are you showing me people like logging into World of Warcraft too weird, in my like, Call of Duty? That's
opposite
strange,
ends of the spectrum.
But hey, what can you do?
Yeah, I saw that as well. I was like, hey, X is playing World of Warcraft. I was like, what? Why would you tell me that in the chat window?
Just somebody hanging out in the Barrens, you know. Just
bitch,
like,
I don't care. I'm shooting
up.
People.
Yeah.
I don't care.
It's He's like... waiting in a queue to shoot people.
Yeah, it's like,
with
okay.
his magic wand or something, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was you, Mary. It was, I think it was you that I saw when I was
probably
logging in. You're playing your undead priest, and I was like, wait, why is Mary? Oh, right, yeah. Okay, this is cool. I mean, I don't know. It's all through Battle.net, so I guess it makes sense, but it's neat. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a cool game so far.
Yeah. There's a weird thing that it happens where, like, every time I load into the map, when I respawn, there's a good 1 second pause of,
yeah.
like, the game kind of freezes, and then it chunks and goes. It's really weird.
Yeah, I had the same thing. I thought at first it was something to do with, like, the server day issues or whatever.
I wasn't sure. Yeah. Pretty much every time I do it. So, yeah, I think that's a game thing that they need to fix.
Question for you. Have you played much multiplayer? Like with a group?
I played like with Diesel and Noisy,
okay.
Friends of the shows. It's fine. Didn't play with them all three at once, but me being in the UK and playing with Noisy seemed totally fine.
Oh, good.
There's no real noticeable lag. Whenever I look for ping or something on my end, it's set to 0, which doesn't seem right. Especially
sure.
when I'm playing with the Canadian friend. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not feeding my ping back properly to me.
Well, what can you do about that? You know, but, yeah. Okay.
But, yeah, it looks good. I like... Maybe it's just I haven't played a shooter in a long time, but
sure.
I like this... They're, like, aim down sights business of, like, changing focus, focal distances. So, like, everything around the sight is super blurry now, and like inside the sight you've got like super focus. You can kind of see like the curvature of the glass in the sight, which is really cool. And some of the sights which have like 4x or 2x or 4x zoom in them, you can totally see like the curvature of the glass, which makes it zoom compatible, and it just looks really weird as like you trace around as you move your reticle around, like how the world curves as well. It's really fun.
Huh.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Neat touch. Well, DJ, you play any other video games?
Not really. I thought I did play a lot more, but I didn't really play much. Yesterday it was like people were making references to the 21st of September and like, oh, Earth, Wind & Fire, I remember that
uh-huh.
card in Drop Mix, so I'm going to toy around with Drop Mix a little more. It's fun. It's still a cool thing to like drag out from under the wardrobe, inside the wardrobe, find the box, find the cards, and just to toy around with stuff, see...
Sure.
what works with other cards and how they interact. I found that like pairing vocals with at least one other card from that vocal
uh-huh.
song makes the mix just massively improved rather than just trying to find four random cards.
Huh. Are they still putting...
Which, yeah, makes sense.
Are they putting out cards still, or is it dead?
Honestly, I have no clue. I saw a couple months ago that there was, like, a season 2 of PAX, which I will get once they get reduced in sale again. Because they will get reduced in sale. Last time I looked, they were still basically full price. Or a price I was not ready to pay, which was, like, under £4 per pack is what I'm happy with. But yeah, they are kind of still doing stuff. I don't know if they've done any recently. I'm pretty sure this game's dead now.
Oh. Man, if they had only...
I thought that game was dead a while ago.
Yeah, but then, like, I saw that new series, which was, like, very early this year.
Man, if they had just made a... I just wish they had made a online portal for it where you could just play Drop Mix on your phone or something like that. Like, I would have paid a good $10, $20 for that. Because I like that game. It's neat. Go ahead.
I was just Googling to see, like, what the deal is with Drop Mix, and they posted an update saying that Harmonix is going to assume control of the Drop Mix app and server support from Hasbro. While there are no plans to introduce new cards or boards, Drop Mix features and functionality will not change, and we plan to support the service indefinitely. So it's not technically going to die ever, supposedly, but they're not doing anything new with it. So
is Harmonix doing all right? Like, what's happening with Harmonix? Let me know if they're okay over there, or okay, good.
What even is Harmonix anymore?
Dance Central, maybe? Is that Rock Band VR? Autica?
Yeah, Autica, according to their website, which is a game never heard of. Yeah.
It's coming to PlayStation VR later this year. It is I believe a rhythm-based shooter. As you would expect.
Available in early access on Steam and Oculus, apparently. Oh, I think I heard something about this. Like, they were testing out a musical shooter called Chroma, and apparently Autica is developed off of that game in some way. That's what I heard. I don't know.
Interesting. Man, I forgot they put out
Around February, there was a season 2 of some playlist packs for this game.
What did they get? What's the hottest season 2 release of the year?
I linked a video of some songs. There's some Kendrick Lamar in here.
Okay.
Oh, fucking Crank That by Soulja Boy. I gotta...
Real topical.
That's so terrible.
It's the drums.
Why did Drop Mix die?
You know what?
Right.
I don't know.
Man, God. You can only get...
You got Mr. Worldwide, but it's Fireball by Pitbull. So
No. Oh, that's not the one you want. The only one worse would be if it was the Africa by Pitbull. It's the cover of Africa by Pitbull.
That's what you want.
That's what you want. That's the good stuff. Throw that in there, mix it with, like, Metallica or something, and you got it. You got it going on, man. It's going to be great.
Oh, wow. There's, Harmonix Music did the Sanford and Son theme tune. Horns.
That could be neat, yeah.
It's like the special card in stuff. The pack. That's interesting. They always have a special card. One of them was Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, something. One was Steal My Sunshine's audio by Len. One was Doctor Who's theme tune. Most of them don't work well at all. The Steal My Sunshine lyrics are very good and do work. And then there's a Beatboxer card, which is the most OP card in all of Drop Mix. Because it's just, they just probably got a guy who could beatbox in for like a couple hours.
Neat.
Did a bunch of beatbox.
Well, we've got an intriguing adventure here. We've learned all about the latest releases from Harmonix Entertainment. Very excited to play and watch your hot stream coming later this week, DJ, where you have Soldier Boy cranking it on a Dropbox board. Very excited.
If it's cheap enough.
Yeah, what's the right price?
I would assume it
what's
would be
the right price.
Like, nobody's buying that.
Well, oh, cool. They have in another pack, Straight Up by Paula Abdul. Oh, fucking lyrics for Who Let the Dogs Out by the Baha Men. Oh, I gotta buy these packs.
Oh, cool.
If I can nail in these.
Cool.
Nailing them, huh? That's what we're going
with. What are the issues?
Nailing them. Wow.
Okay. Yep. One of the issues is I think these packs are also like US specific. So that's another issue. I haven't seen like.
You gotta import your drop mix packs.
Right. I haven't seen a legit like UK vendor sell these packs. So I don't know. That's another reason. And then I guess to pivot, because I could just watch more of these playlist packs and just laugh at these shitty songs. We played Gears 5 ages ago, but I don't think anyone of us talked about it specifically. Did we talk about it?
I did a little bit,
A little.
Nah, I might not have done. Yeah, I can't remember if I did, so I'm going to briefly talk about it. It's interesting. I like it. Horde mode's way too long.
That's what I said about it, basically. Yeah.
And I did research later, and because Horde mode's class-based now, we fucked up. Well, I don't know if we fucked up, but, like, the method to upgrading that central cache thing to level up our turrets and everything else is one of us needed to be an engineer, and only the engineers can upgrade that thing. Which kind of seems like a really annoying thing to specifically have.
You would think, like, the game would require you to have one engineer if you're going to play it then.
Right.
Or at least pop up something about it.
Like, hey, you won't be able to level up your forge or whatever the fuck it was called. Yeah. But I loved playing the robot in that horde. It was actually really fucking fun. Being able to fly over most shit and, like, just run around stealthing because nothing could see you as long as you didn't shoot was great. The rapid healing was good, so, like, being able to just fly with people when shit got crazy to heal them through damage. And then, like, repairing stuff when people were not able to leave the base or something was good. Reviving from a distance, yeah. And then also, like, stunning people after you, like, shocked them for long enough. Especially the big people. So you guys could just, like, wipe them down. Was really cool. I think that robot's very, very OP in that game. Yep.
Did you... maybe not. I don't know. The way I think about it, Gears, is... Did you guys find that shooting felt good? Because it just felt like sometimes you're just pouring shots into people, and it just felt like... I don't know if it was just horde mode or something like that, but it just didn't have that same, quite that same punch I was looking for. Like, it just didn't feel.
It reminded me of, like, playing Diablo. Like, I'm just clicking and holding the mouse down, and I don't know. It wasn't, yeah. Not that. Like, the guns have more impact in Borderlands 3, wow. Which is weird, in my opinion.
Is that right? Is that an indictment of Borderlands 3? Or?
No, I'm saying, like, Gears 5, the guns feel kind of just...
mushy,
Your pop-pop, yeah, that's... I don't know. Not even pop-pop, like, pop. That would feel more satisfying. It's just like, I'm pushing the button to kill you now, and now you fell down, and...
Yeah.
I find Gears 5 kind of boring, which is why I haven't gone back to it yet.
I might uninstall Gears 5 and have never touched it again after that horde mode. I'm just not...
Oh, you're not even going to do the...
I mean, I want with to... Me. I mean, yes, I will play single player with you. If you want to play single player and do this and grit it out with me and get this done, we'll get it done. But,
You say you uninstalled it. Won't it take, like, a week to reinstall that thing?
Oh, I haven't uninstalled it yet. I was saying I was going to maybe uninstall it. I was thinking today... I should just uninstall this. I have so many games on my computer right now. Like, I've got to get this stuff off here. But yeah, I don't know. It's Gears is one of those weird examples of just, I think, the issue with some of these Microsoft first-party games of, like, Halo and this, like, just not quite where I want them. They're just not quite there. Like, they
just feel kind of bland. Yeah. Crackdown 3, the deal is.
They're just, they don't have that, they don't have an edge to them that I think they need. Now, whether that is from, like, I mean, I don't think they're badly made games, and the Gears plays fine, it works fine, it looks fine, it just doesn't have, I don't know, I think they need like a Hideo Kojima, you know? They need their own guy who's just completely insane to walk in there and just give it a little, you know, a few of them. Just a few people with some real different direction.
Or like a Cliffy B, maybe? Like, sure. I don't know. Well, I'm not saying...
Anymore, I don't know.
The original Gears had some personality is what I'm saying, and these just feel kind of, I don't know. Sequel-y.
And they're certainly going out there and buying lots of studios, right? They got Obsidian now. That was in that news story, I think, this week, putting out job applications or job requests for, I think they're making two new first-party games there or something like that. One third-party, actually, I forget what it was. But, you know, they're certainly looking to make first-party stuff. I just think they need to bring somebody in who's out of their goddamn minds. Just generally to head some of that stuff because they need somebody who's going to push them a little bit. I think both studios, I think 343 could use it too in Halo. But again, I don't know what Halo Infinite's going to look like, so. Yeah, I don't know. Just get somebody in there who fucking puts babies in giant tubes or whatever. Just get somebody that does that, you know? Yeah.
Take a battery bath with my baby. Yeah.
No, thanks.
Gears of War. What if Marcus Fenix walked into a tub of water with a baby in a tube? Like, wouldn't that be a better game?
I don't
know. Wouldn't that add a little something? A little, you know?
I don't want to see Marcus Fenix without cog armor.
I don't... What if he's, like, really spindly?
Casual Marcus Fenix.
Marcus Fenix is like a stick. He's just like, there's not of no meat. He's just like bones. He's a creepy skeleton man. That's the comedy Gears that I want. Yes, I will play Gears of War 5 with you though, DJ. Get ready. Sometime. This week. Let's grind it out. It's gonna be great.
Excellent. Well, probably not this week because I guess I have been playing another game. We being me and Popcans are playing a lot of Far Cry New Dawn on that Uplay Plus. Is that what that thing's called?
Uplay Plus. You got it.
I think it has. Okay. Isn't it a complicated name? I don't know. Maybe it's just Uplay Plus. I'm thinking of maybe Let's EA, the Origin Plus Access now. Premier bullshit.
Right. We were trialing that thing through September and been playing a lot of Far Cry New Dawn. It's fun. There's a lot of better scenarios with it of like it's having better a lot of the co-op crud that was in Far Cry 5 is like toned down at least. It's not better, but it's toned down. It's a lot easier to play around with stuff. I'm letting Pop take the lead this time, so he's having to talk to everyone while I just jump around and wait for everything.
Throw rocks at them.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of, like, you can redo outposts for, like, ethanol and stuff. It's not, like, generic gold coins this time. You have, like, stuff like copper wire and titanium and crafting materials to make shit rather than just gold to buy shit. But in the end, we still have like way more than we need. We're like 46% in the story and we've unlocked like every perk that we bother with. So like time to scale is very, very quick. And a lot of the time, the missions, most of them aren't like designed for two people. The best right. case in point was we have to save Nick Rai from a from kidnapping.
Nick Rai?
Nick Rai's a fighter pilot guy.
Oh, okay. Nick Rai.
So we save him, and he's like, "Yo, I've got a boat plane stashed around this side." So we all follow him, and it's very apparent that Popcans needs to go into this boat plane thing, and it only has two seats, and he jumps into the second one. So I'm very confused, and I just end up jumping on the side that is floating on side on the river.
Okay.
Because you know how those planes have two big sort of sections that help the plane float,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just hanging onto that thing because I can't enter the.
What
plane.
Are you? Oh God! You're Mission Impossible man now. You're hanging on the side of the plane.
Pretty much. Yeah. And this plane doesn't actually take off or anything. It's just skimming the water, but it's still really fucking dumb that I had to just hang out on the side. Because also, if you go too far away from someone, Popcans, it'll teleport me to him. But we found out on some of the missions, if you get too far away from someone you're specifically following, it just ends the mission. So I had to stay close enough. And at one point, I fell off, and
that seems
ended the mission.
Broken,
it was dumb. Yeah,
of course. Everybody loves, and just tethering on missions—the best thing. Why even make it happen? Why? My question to you, video game makers of 2019, why you gotta tether missions so much? I just don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna guess console limitations. Sorry,
maybe. Mary with the sense. Come on now, Mary. Stop making sense of this. Come on. I want to just be angry at something. Okay, go ahead, DJ.
They do tailor a lot of things. So, fast traveling is a lot easier as long as you've got places unlocked to go to. Not even just outposts. You can go to other places that you've been to before. So, makes that stuff a whole lot easier. Weird, there's... skill, there's tiers of enemies, tier 1, 2, 3, and then elites. And same goes with your weapons. So you have to upgrade your workbench to unlock tier 2 weapons, upgrade it again to unlock tier 3 stuff. So it's weird in that sense of your main goal is to unlock tier 3 or tier 4 weapons as quickly as possible, because then that just makes the game a whole lot easier. Because you're not fucking trying to dump ammo into a tier 3 person with a tier 2 gun. At first we were using tier 2 guns on elites for some of these missions. And once we unlocked the elite guns, they just get mowed down instantly. So we're hoping it's a quicker affair from here on out. But yeah, there's a lot of... issues still, let's say. They need to build a game that has co-op in mind from the start rather than just tacking it on, because it still does that thing of if I go into my game, none of this stuff, none of this progression has occurred. I'm living in his world and his world's upgrading, none on my end. So yeah, there's issues with it, but it plays a hell of a lot better than 5, at least.
Right, yeah, I mean, that's something I found with Astroneer when we played that, too, is, some games just haven't gotten quite down to multiplayer part of some of that. You just want to just give me all the stuff, files exist on one side, it's just, I don't know, it's a pain sometimes.
Yeah.
But.
Well, to do that kind of thing, you need a dedicated server, is a thing.
True,
but I feel
like Astroneer would benefit greatly from dedicated server support, which I think they're adding at some point, or have added, or I don't know.
Right, and I just feel dedicated servers have a cost to them, right? But when we're talking about Far Cry, you would think they would, just because they are a pretty big brand studio thing. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, but the money that you save making it peer-to-peer completely outweighs...
I guess, yeah.
Doing it, yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I opened up Uplay to see the title of it. It is Uplay Plus in there. But some breaking news, which is not breaking at all because I just noticed it now. They've added Anno 1800.
Oh my god!
So the conspiracy may end. They have now added that game for people to play.
What was the conspiracy again?
It was like the one game that they didn't add to Uplay Plus. People were assuming it's because it's the only one that people actually wanted to play.
Wow.
Because I want to try it out.
Yeah. Huh. Well, that's interesting. You know, as conspiracy goes, it's no Area 51 storming, but it's, you know, up there. It's no... Anno is on new puppets. Cool. Well, with that, let's move on. I could mention briefly, I didn't play too much of it, but I did play a little Kingdom Come Deliverance, which is on Game Pass. I didn't want to mention that just briefly.
Oh,
haven't
yeah.
played a ton of it, but it's very Skyrim. It's you're running around, you're kind of first person, getting to combat. I think they have a really good combat system so far. I think the story's somewhat interesting. I don't know how much more I'll talk about it on this podcast. The politics aside, it seems like an alright game. Check it out if you want to check it out. I'm probably like an hour or two in. Thank you. And moving on. Mary. What's up? How's Borderlands?
I'm playing more of it. I'm not as much of it as I would like because I'm only playing it when I can play it with Gary. So that's basically the weekend and sometimes at night if we're not making chicken marsala or whatever, we'll actually have time to play.
Every night you're making chicken marsala. It's fine. Everyone loves chicken marsala.
No.
You put mushrooms in your chicken marsala? Is that like...
Yes, of course. Of course I do. Nope. I mean, I used to not like mushrooms, but it's
I'm an anti-mushroom man. I want you to know that. I want you to start, we'll start our friendship on that note, as I'm anti-mushrooms, so.
This will be fast.
When I was younger, I didn't really like mushrooms, but now, mushrooms are alright.
Like, I could, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like them either. The way I got to like them, like, I hate the white button mushrooms. Those taste right. like butt at every grocery store. They're terrible. Get some Asian, like, brown and white mushrooms and saute them in some butter. They end up very nutty. They taste good. They don't Ooh. Taste like rotten dirt. They taste
yeah.
actually good. So.
Okay. Yeah, it's
so yeah, try
mushrooms
those.
Are the problem I have with brie, right? Because brie tastes like mushrooms. Like, it's got that mushroomy hint to it. That completely destroyed brie.
Stank. The funk.
Funk, yeah. Also, if you stare at a mushroom and you look on the underside of, like, the cap on the mushroom and it's got, like, a little, that freaks me
the
out.
Gills?
The gills freak me out. I can't. Whew. Freaks me out.
They're pretty.
Ugh.
Anyway.
Go ahead. Chicken marsala. Where are we at? All right. Chicken marsala. Really
Speaking
great.
Speaking of random.
Food.
Ooh. Yeah. No. I like Borderlands 3. It's a lot of fun. We discovered a fun bug with Gary's copy of the game. He still has a lot of crashing because his computer sucks and he refuses to run it at lower specifications. So it crashes like about once every hour. But we realized like every time he crashes, his golden key letters, like after entering shift codes, are in his mailbox again. So now he has like 31 golden keys or whatever. Like he just keeps getting golden wow. key after golden key. So I have him go and open the chest for me like a few times before it crashes again. So now we have pretty good items and stuff. We have noticed another bug that I've seen online.
Like a
though.
Ladybug?
No, like a computer game bug that makes you mad and write on the internet. Because I had looked
Wait
this up to make sure I wasn't the only person that had this. You know how in the game, sometimes you get a cool unlock where you're in your inventory and they're like, oh, here's a new head for your character. So you can customize them.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes I will use that item to unlock a new head, and it says head unlocked, and I go and try and use it, and the head isn't fucking unlocked, and that has happened multiple times for both of us. Apparently it's a common issue, but it's really annoying because I want to make my character look fancy, and that's irritating. The other irritating thing I've found in this game, there's a little, like, slot machine, like, scroll wheel animation for the prices of items. And right. when I'm trying to go through and dump stuff or sell stuff, I have to wait, like, 1 to 2 seconds for this little animation to play before I can find out how much a thing is actually worth. And that's irritating as hell. I hope I can... I don't know. I need to look in the options to see if I can disable that, or maybe they will do that later because it really bugs me. But other than that, I'm having a lot of fun. I haven't found any super annoying characters besides Vaughn yet, so that's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, there you go.
I had a big long session.
Just go ahead. Wait.
Okay, uh-oh. Great. Yeah,
that's an uh-oh for me.
Yeah, like, I did a long section with Rees and Zero, and I found Rees surprisingly tolerable.
Yeah!
He wasn't so bad.
My favorite Borderlands character, Rees. It's good. I'm very excited.
Yeah, he was okay. I wasn't a fan of the stupid 50 Shades of Gravy book that he had, like, 5 times right. sprinkled around his office. I was like, that's not even a joke. Like, what... It's not...
Man likes some gravy, though, Mary. You can't...
That book came out before Borderlands 2 did. Like, if you're gonna make that joke, why don't you make it in 2 and not 3?
Right.
Yeah. But whatever. That's fine. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, there's some bugs still, but I'm having fun playing
cool.
it, basically.
Great.
Yeah. We spent like all day Saturday playing it, and that was a lot of fun.
That's great.
And it didn't make my hands hurt. We took breaks and everything, like Nintendo style, mouse and keyboard. It's nice.
Great.
Not like the shitty 360 wired controller I use most of the time.
I mean, if Borderlands is just working as Borderlands, like, I think that's an entertaining game, you know?
Good. Yeah. It's pretty nice, and I haven't felt the need to mute it or anything yet. One thing I did actually notice during, like, a big boss fight, I actually appreciated some of the background music during a boss fight. It was pretty cool. It was a neat, weird, like, techno-jazzy thing with, like, some saxophone and stuff. I really appreciated that, and I was surprised. I'm playing as Flack, like the Beastmaster, and Gary is playing as Zane, the Irish dude. He actually got this really cool unlock. Actually, I got it, and then I gave it to him because I noticed it was an operator unlock of, like, a sombrero hat, and his face is totally different and stuff.
That's the one I have.
Okay, yeah. It's
oh, wait,
cool.
No. You're talking, okay, there's a cowboy hat for Flack.
Oh,
and
okay.
And his face is different. But I've seen the sombrero one, because the person I'm playing with has that as well. Like, we're playing Flack and Zane as well.
Okay.
What
yeah.
do Flack and Zane's do? What's their special abilities, quickly?
Flack is he has a pet.
Oh, right.
That
okay.
you can
oh, he's
use
the pet
to, like...
Pet guy.
Yeah.
And make it go Super Saiyan, right? If I remember from a video, he make him go big.
Doesn't
and
he have
you can.
Yeah.
It depends on what skill tree you're using. Like, okay. I have racks I send out. Basically, just messing with elemental damage. And I got the skill recently that makes it to where I earn more money when I kill stuff with my pet, which is cool. I don't even know what Gary's doing on his skill tree. Like, he has this thing where he can do, like, 2 action skills. So he has, like, a little hover drone, and he can also, like, spit out a decoy that'll shoot. That's mainly what I see him doing most of the time. I don't know. It's fun.
Cool.
I need to mess more with the skill tree. I've basically just been focusing all my points in, like, the red one for Flack. I haven't even read, like, what other skills you can get. I've been boring.
Have you found, like, your... I don't know. I've often found with Borderlands game, I'm not really super challenged if I'm doing kind of round-the-level stuff. Like, how's the challenge level so far? Is just, like, killing people and stuff? Like, is it?
I died a couple times to this boss, but I think that's also because I needed to equip a new shield. Like, I liked the effects on this one shield, even though it was lower level. I think that's the main reason I kept dying. But challenge level is all right. It seems fairly balanced, like nothing is too super bullet spongy. And one thing that I actually have super appreciated with this new game is that the boss fights are a lot more interesting.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes, like I feel like they've learned a lot from Destiny and The Division. Like there are bosses have very different forms, they have different attacks. Huh. It's not just like here's an elemental weakness, you use that. I don't want to get spoilery, but yeah, like the latest boss fight that I had with all the jazzy music, like for Reese's section, was very, very good, and it made me think of Destiny. It was actually fun.
Oh, good.
So that was cool.
Yeah, Jake, do you feel the same way? Do you think? I mean, I know. I think you're farther in the game, right? A little bit.
Yeah. I'm on like chapter 15, I think, is the chapter we're on.
Okay.
We've been playing it a couple hours a night, pretty much all week. So,
pretty good challenge, or like not?
Yeah, it hasn't been super tough, but then again, apparently Flak is a little OP.
Oh, yeah, I heard Midge in the chat say.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
But overall, I've been enjoying it.
Good.
I have a very nice friend who was very generous, and he bought me a copy of the game, so that was nice.
Nice.
Yeah, appreciated that, and it was.
Okay. No,
it's been really fun so far.
I was gonna ask if Epic Games had like a gift system, but I forget you can buy Borderlands 3 codes from like a lot of sources.
Really?
Yeah, this one was on Green Man Gaming, I believe, is where... Because last week I said I might be playing it, because I got a Discord message from him with a key, and I wasn't sure what it was. But I had a feeling that's what it was, and that's what it was. So
cool. Well, that is very nice. Are there a lot of bosses in Borderlands 3, or is it more like...
There's been a considerable amount. Really? Like, even there's been some bosses that aren't really... Like, technically bosses. They don't have, like, their own intro screen.
Or something.
Yeah. Okay. But then there's, like, these bounties that you can go get, and it's like, hey, go kill this person, and that ends up being kind of a mini-boss situation where they're really strong.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, that's interesting. Oh, cool. Do you guys think, like, I don't know how many hours and how far do you guys think both of you until you're... closer to the end? Like, what's the projection in your mind? Is there a end?
I'm pretty sure I have a long way to go, because I realized I still haven't met aged up Tiny Tina yet or whatever.
Oh,
maybe
no.
That's what you were talking about with the annoying characters. But I still also don't have the fourth weapon slot unlocked, so I know I need more story progress to go through for sure.
I've got all of the inventory stuff unlocked, okay. Like all of the slots. So.
Interesting. Okay.
But yeah, we're level 34 and 35, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, I don't know, like 16 hours in? I don't know, something like that.
Okay.
I think I'm like level 23 or something. Yeah. Don't remember what level Gary is, but we've been trying to stay around the same level.
Okay. Huh. That seems like quite a game, then. That seems like a lot of fun. Seems to be getting their money's worth.
What's the coolest gun you've found so far? Or the most interesting?
I'm trying to think. I don't think I've found anything crazy. Like, a lot of the stuff I use is just boring. Like, this has the highest damage numbers, so that's what I'm going to use. It's Gary that keeps getting all the crazy guns. Like, he He has a gun where whenever he pulls it out, there's a shield automatically, like a large wall type shield. That's very nice.
Whoa.
Yeah, all of my guns have been super boring now that I think about it. I don't know. Maybe I've just been unlucky. I haven't been using golden keys like crazy either, though. He gives me, like, his leftovers after he uses his ill-gotten keys, so maybe that's why.
Oh, the guns.
Yeah.
Right.
So I found that the TDR guns tend to be pretty cool. Currently using an SMG that does really good fire damage, that when you reload it, the first time you reload it, it just becomes a drone. Like, it just flies around you.
Oh, wow.
And just becomes a drone. And then when you reload, the next time you reload, it just reloads the drone. Like, the drone just keeps flying around and your gun, like, dematerializes That's in the fun. Air and, like, flies over to it. That's pretty good. I had a shotgun for a while that when you reloaded it, you would throw it. And it would have this orb around it that says, shoot me. And then when you shoot it, it explodes.
Yeah.
And every now and then when you throw it, it'll say, yeet.
Oh, God.
Great.
Yeah. TDR's got some meme guns that say meme-y shit every now and then.
Hmm.
Yeah, like, that's the gun that I'm using most of the time right now, just because it's really good at getting rid of shields. I have an SMG that does shock damage, and it also does the throw it as a grenade. And it'll actually bounce once towards an enemy, like, has kind of a homing effect. And then you shoot it, and it goes off. That's pretty nice and effective. But I don't know, for some reason, I don't think of it as being super crazy. For, I don't know. That's the nuttiest one I have so far, I guess.
I had I don't want to call it a flamethrower, but it behaves like a flamethrower, but it did electrical damage. Whoa. And that was part... I happened to get it at a part of the game where all of the enemies you're fighting just have shield. Like, they don't have a health bar, it's just the shield. And I was just melting people with it. And then, I don't know what happened, but we got to the boss of that section, and then I may have just dropped it, I guess, and didn't realize I dropped it. And I was looking through my inventory, I was like, I don't fucking know where that gun went. But that's okay, because it wouldn't have been that effective after that area.
Sure.
But basically during the boss fight, I was on ad duty because I was just, ads would show up. I'm just like, no, you're all dead.
Yeah, I'm just, mowing them down.
You're done. Bye.
Whoa. Huh. Well, that's cool. Sounds like a neat game.
It's fun. Cool. I have a lot of fun hopping around and finding treasure chests too. Like, that's 50% of my gameplay time, which is probably why I haven't gotten very far. I'm just looking for treasure.
Yar. Getcha. As a pirate. Yar. Thank you.
I open like everything I see.
Yeah, me too. Like, yeah.
The little safes. I open all the boxes, even all, like, the little incidental chests and stuff.
Yeah, I'm full of ammo. Who cares? I'm going to open it.
Does the game make it easier grabbing everything from those things? Because that used to be the most... Opening them was fine, but then, like, grabbing shit from in there seemed more of an issue.
Oh, no, it automatically just... The ones that don't have guns in it, that are just, like, supplies, just automatically, like, magnet to
vacuum
you.
Vacuum.
Yeah. So you don't have to press it again. Okay, good.
Nope.
Yeah, that was the most annoying thing.
So, like, they'll be, like, during boss fights, I'll be running around just, like, I'm running around trying to get an angle on somebody, and I see something, I just open it up real quick and just keep going.
Yep.
It's like, this probably has ammo for one of my guns.
Probably something. It's got something in here. It's fine. I'll pop it open. We'll see. Yeah, cool. I'll be interested to talk to both of you once you reach that, like, once you beat the game, if there's any kind of, like, endgamey stuff or stuff like that. It'd be interesting to...
Well, I did see on the internet they are adding a Halloween event in October. Let me link the little article about it, because it actually sounds fun.
Is it the Headless Horseman?
It's going to be a live game.
Yeah, welcome to Destiny Borderlands. It's going to be great.
I mean, it's free, whatever. You can unlock stuff. Yeah. It seems cute. It's free. Yeah, it's Halloween. You unlock some skins, whatever.
There's pumpkins.
I'll play it. Yeah.
There's a
jack-o'-lantern Rex.
Headless horseman looking man.
Well, that's Captain Trott, which is now renamed to Captain Hunt because Halloween. Great. And yeah.
Excellent work out there.
Way to go.
Good job, everybody. Just pat yourself on the back and go home for the day. You're good. Whoever came up with that one, that's...
But yeah.
Nice.
I love Halloween events, so I saw that and I was excited, so I'm going to play the hell out of that. And finally Overwatch again, too, whenever that starts. Yeah.
How come?
Halloween event.
Because I got to get the Halloween skins. I love it, even though I haven't played Overwatch in months. I will still boot it back up again for that.
Right.
Did you see Lego Bastion? That's a pretty good skin.
I did, but it's one of those events in Overwatch where they're like, you have to win these matches and keep these streams open, and I'm sick of participating in those, so I didn't bother. Yeah.
Lego?
Maybe they'll unlock him eventually. Bastion? Yeah.
It might be labeled slightly different because I don't know if they got the Lego license, but that's
it's
basically
probably like
what it
Brick
is.
Bastion or something.
Huh.
But yeah, it's actually for real Lego? Wow.
Actual Lego. Lego always loves a branding opportunity. Don't ever doubt Lego.
None of this Mega Bloks shit.
It's true.
Yeah. Leave that to Halo and Call of Duty.
they should also get Mega Bloks and make a Mega Bloks skin. Just do it all. Can we get some, what's the logs?
Lincoln logs. They already have like a Lincoln Log Bastion skin, basically.
Go.
That wood one. Yeah.
There you go. Just rebrand it. Just put Lincoln Log Bastion. It's going to be great. Connectable. Thank you. Cool. Talk to me about Apple Arcade, Mary.
Apple Arcade. I finally upgraded the OS on my phone, which I had been holding out on for a couple years because I don't want to bother. And then I saw on Thursday, hey, if you download iOS 13, you can get a free trial of Apple Arcade, which is normally $5 a month. And right now they have 62 games out that you can download for free that are premium-style phone games. Like, they aren't full of microtransactions or, gacha-style stuff. Like, they're not what you think of typically when you think of phone games. And a lot of them I didn't play typically like you would a phone game. I actually hooked up the audio video out, like HDMI out on my phone, and I synced up a PS4 controller, and I played them on my TV like they were a normal game. A lot of fun. It was pretty good. It worked fairly well. The only complaint I have is that there is a little bit of lag for, the visual display and your input. So I was trying to play, Shantae and the Seven Sirens, which is an action game by WayForward, an action platform. And that kind of didn't work because just the amount of delay was enough to, fuck me up and make me fall off of platforms and not jump correctly and get hit by enemies and stuff. But I think if I was going to play it, I wouldn't really want to play it with touchscreen controls on my phone either because it plays like that. So I guess maybe I will just sit up my phone on stand later and try and play it with the PS4 controller. But that doesn't seem exactly ideal either. So these games they're odd. A lot of them are more like traditional phone games, this game that I actually completed all the way, Assemble with Care, is made by Us Two Games, the people that did Monument Valley.
Okay.
And this game I actually found super cool and relaxing. The art style has an animated watercolor kind of look to it. And this is almost like a house flipper kind of game, except you're repairing electronics or a music box, record player. I repaired a fake GBA SP at one point, and that was a lot of fun. just the touchscreen controls for that were very fun. Like, you're popping off battery covers, you're unscrewing cases, you're replacing, like, chip elements and boards, replacing belts on, like, record players. And I actually found that a lot of fun. Like, sometimes I'm weird, and if I'm just hanging out at home, I will load up a YouTube channel of people repairing, like, vintage electronics and just watch that for a while.
This
had the same effect. It was very chill. The only part that tripped me up is that I'm terrible with gear mechanics, and at one point I had to repair a mechanical watch, and I was like, oh, fuck, I don't know how this works at all.
Like, gear ratios and stuff?
It's a little simplified. It's nothing's too crazy because it's like a chill phone game kind of thing. There are only 13 like puzzles basically of you repairing items. And I didn't really care for like the story stuff in between. It's pretty twee, sappy, like stereotypical indie game type stuff, which makes me sound callous and heartless, but I just did not care. I just skipped through it real fast. It's like, yes, your sister is mean, and she's mean because she works in the city. Oh, but you bond over this record that you guys listened to when you were kids. Like, I don't care.
You're clearly a fan of the Hallmark Movie Channel. I'm so sorry.
No, I'm not. That's basically what the stories are like. Yes. One of them involves a dad and a kid, and their mom died. And yeah, it's very Hallmark Movie Channel type plot. But the act of like repairing a slide projector was really fun. Like, it was a very cool game, and I wish there were more games like it. Just fake repairing electronics games. Also played some Sayonara Wild Hearts, which was cool with a controller. Worked very well. First, it starts out like a Sonic 2 bonus level, like where you're just collecting rings and stuff. But the gameplay changes from level to level in surprising ways. And it's very fast-paced, where you're just, like, reacting in the moment. You don't really have time to think. And they're all music-based, where they go along with the song. The only thing is, when you fuck up in the game, it'll just, like, cut to black and rewind a few seconds, which doesn't really go well with the whole, like, trying to get into a rhythm. Yeah, exactly. But it's enjoyable. It's very artsy-fartsy and neat. Like, it's the good kind of artsy-fartsy. It also seems kind of anime-inspired in a few ways. Like, not enough to be annoying, but it plays with, like, some magical girl kind of stuff. Pinball Wizard. It's a pinball roguelike. Yes, it's a pinball roguelike. You're climbing a tower. You're playing pinball as a wizard, and
as a wizard, of course, sure.
I don't know if I really like the roguelike elements because you have like health and HP, and it seems kind of like an artificial way to extend the game. Like, oh, I hit this skull item in the playfield one too many times, and because my HP isn't high enough, like I have to start over again and level some more. Like, it's okay. It has abilities. I'll play more of it. I haven't played that much, but it's a cute pinball game, especially for free. Shinsekai Into the Depths, which is a Capcom, like, underwater Shadow Complex kind of game. Like, that's what it made me think of weird-ass Dreamcast games, like, from 1999 to 2000, where it has a bunch of interesting elements that they don't really explain that much, and it seems like it's kind of easy to fuck up. You have to pay attention to your air levels. You can't run into these areas with ice that are just growing. It's kind of weird and supernatural in some ways. It's kind of neat. It's kind of weird and Japanesey. The lag between the visual display and stuff doesn't really matter as much because the movement is slower being underwater. So I think that was a good way to deal with it. It's kind of neat. It's weird. I don't know how to explain it because I have only played like an hour of that game. It's weird. Choo Choo Rocket is puzzle Choo Choo Rocket. Oh, I don't know. Choo-choo it's Choo Choo Rocket. It doesn't have the song from the commercial, so yeah, that's disappointing.
Lame.
Yeah. Oceanhorn 2. That is like a real video game. It's like Zelda. I was surprised. I think I need a better phone, though. My 6S Plus was playing it at a PS2-looking resolution, which was disappointing. Like, it was running fine, but it just looked kind of blurry, blown up on my TV. And it was really neat. It plays like a real fucking Zelda game. It was impressive for a phone. Like, I think you need a controller for that game, basically.
I was gonna ask,
I have no idea how you would play it on a regular phone. I haven't even tried that yet. This was my... I'm gonna fuck around with everything on my TV for a while. But yeah, I'm gonna test out some more stuff. There is a Square Enix game done by the Bravely Default people that I have installed and not touched yet. There's a whole bunch of games that I want to try that I haven't tried yet, but it seems good for $5 a month. Like, it seems like a Game Pass situation. I hope it'll stay like that. I don't know.
Is there any chance these games come to Android?
I think the way Apple did this, I think they paid the people to where they're like cell phone exclusive, so where it'll only be on iOS, as far as I know. I don't know. Ooh. It seems like a lot of these games are coming out on console and PC, though, too. So,
what about that Switch?
What about that
Switch? Yeah, a bunch of these games are actually out on Switch, too, so could try it there.
But then you gotta pay for each one.
Like exactly.
$8 to $10.
Right. Yeah, I doubt they will be even $5 each, so this definitely seems like a good deal for now, if your phone is good enough. Yeah. I feel like my 6S Plus is getting old, for sure. I don't think it's just the iOS, either. I think it's just getting old.
Oh.
But yeah, that's basically what I've been playing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the Apple Arcade stuff seems interesting. It's an interesting idea of how to do that kind of stuff. But also...
Oh, well, I guess I've been playing WoW, and I've been playing Idolmaster and shit, but that's all boring, so there you go.
World of Warcraft. What level are you at? What's your 30? 40?
I don't even remember. I'm just...
Just playing, just playing.
I don't pay
attention
to anything when I'm playing that game. I'm just zoned out. Clicking on stuff. Okay. Yep. And I need it because I've been tired and old, like, the past
like
couple
we all
weeks.
Are.
I'm just... Again. I'm fatigued with life.
It's true. We've all
same.
Reached fatigue. It's fine. Okay. News? How's everybody feeling? News?
Yes.
Just go to the news.
News? Can I get you some?
Just go to the fucking news.
Yes, okay, we're saying yes. We want the news.
All right, first news story. We'll start with the bad news story and end with the good news story. We'll start with the worst news story. Dota 2 players are being hit with 19-year bans for being toxic.
Wait, why is this bad? Isn't it good?
I mean, yes, it's a good thing, but it's also like it has a negative connotation to it because they're toxic players. Get what I'm saying? Toxic touches everything.
I guess the negative is that they didn't ban them earlier.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's been a while. But 19 years, I think that's the thing I wanted to talk to you about. How many years do you think is appropriate for being toxic?
Whatever, fuck them. Okay.
Yeah, your account's gone.
If you're going to be an asshole in a video game constantly, like... consistently over several games and for a long amount of time, fuck you. Get out of here. Get banned.
So the official wording is, users that reach this low level of behavior in the game are too big of attacks in the rest of the community and are not wanted.
Yeah.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. That's fair. Okay.
Because, like, if it gets to the point where you see, like, you queue up and this person shows up in your fucking game again and you're just like, God damn it. I have to deal with this fucking asshole again.
True.
Like, get that guy out of there.
Get him out of here. Get him out of here! Okay. That's, yeah. Okay, so we all agree. Okay, I was thinking maybe like a few years. Like, 19 years is also, 19 years is a weird one. Why not 20?
Well, I mean, like, how...
Probably just, like, how high their counter went.
Yeah.
Like, how many days you want to ban this person who went 999?
Yep.
just max that shit it. Out.
Yep. Okay. Interesting.
I mean, like, is this... Are these people, like, IP banned as well? Or can they just make a new account and, like...
Probably not. Probably not. Well, yeah, it's Dota 2, so that's... It's not like they're getting money.
It's probably a game ban, because there's a difference between a VAC ban and a game ban on Steam. Yeah. I think a game ban is just for a single game.
Yep. That's crazy, yeah.
Because there's also the same thing for CS. Like, if you get banned via Overwatch reports, which Overwatch is, like, kind of their community policing thing. Like, you hit a certain level, and it's like, hey, there's new demos for you to watch. And then you watch the demo of someone who was reported. And then at the end it says, hey, were they doing this? Were they doing this? Were they doing this? And if enough people say, oh, yeah, this dude's wall hacking or this guy's got an aimbot or whatever, then they get a game ban. And they're done.
That sounds good to me. Like, if you can't handle being... Yeah, I don't, if you can't I don't be really have sport, any sympathy. Yeah.
I mean, that's fair.
Like, I can understand if you're just having a bad day or whatever, and it's like, you just have a bad game or two and you're just kind of short with people. Okay, sure. Everybody's got those games sometimes, but it's like, if you go on to a game every day and you're
trolling,
and you're just a fucking dick to people and you're just messing people's games up and stuff. It's like, nah, you have no place. You have no place being here. Just get
right,
out.
Right, yeah. I think it's probably for the best. I don't know. Is that really a way to create better behavior? Like, I know Overwatch is doing the endorsement system, which is like a different way to attempt to improve behavior, but sometimes you do need a...
It's like a commendation system, kind of.
Commendation system, you know.
Yeah.
Teamwork. Thumbs up.
CSGO has that as well, actually. Which I don't see used very often, but then again, I don't play much matchmaking, so... But it has categories like, hey, this person's a team player, or this person has good comms, and this person was nice to play with.
Right. Yeah, I think that's like, I think you gotta approach it. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to do both at a certain point, because, like, you have your commendation system, which tries to create good behavior, and then you have the carrot and the stick with the 19-year ban, so, yeah.
And, yeah, at some point, you gotta make examples out of people.
Sure.
Like, it's like, hey, we are willing to throw out 19-year bans if you are an asshole in our game.
Yeah.
Like, check it out. We did it. We're not joking.
Like, and have an escalation system, right? Of, like, you know, if you're doing really bad, maybe you get a week ban, and then you get, like, a few months, and then a year, and then if you're still messing around, then you get, like, the big one. Like, I think that works out best.
I think Rainbow Six has a system like that now, where it's like, if you get reported for toxicity like X amount of times in this time period, then the first time it's like a 24-hour ban, and then the second time it happens, it's like a week ban.
Right.
And then after that, it's like 6-month ban or 3-month ban or something like that.
Yeah, I'm all for rapidly.
Or maybe increasing. Maybe it escalates a lot faster than that. I'm not sure, but they added that recently.
Escalate it. Here's a, you get a week, and then it's like 5 years, and then that's in a 19. It's like really go up very rapidly.
Well, you'd think after a week, and you came back and you were still being a dick.
Yeah,
it's like, nah, just
get him out of here, throw him out by their
yep
suspenders. Is that what people wear now? I don't know. No. Second, like some, I don't know. That's not really a bad news story. It's not really a bad news story. I don't know why that's a bad... Okay, Valve must allow users to resell Steam games. A French court ruled in the EU. French court ruled. Valve has to love to sell their own Steam games. An interesting predicament. Thank you, Rapid, by the way, for this news story. Nice work, Rapid. Newsman. Breaking hot stories. This is interesting. Yeah.
So, how do you even implement something like that without completely tanking the value of games on Steam, where you can just be like, where there's nothing, absolutely nothing lost at like quality wise from someone just saying, hey, I haven't played this game in like a year. I'll sell you a copy for half the retail price. And you can just do that instead of buying the retail game.
Yeah. I mean, that's
like, that's going to be real tough to figure out.
Maybe you put some kind of limits on it. Some kind of back end, like you have to, like a lowest you can sell it for is the lowest it's gone for.
Well, if it's a thing that's required by law, I'm not really sure how much they would be able to limit it. But that's why Valve is appealing this decision. So who knows how it'll actually end up, but I don't know. It could happen. I mean, that's how we got refunds, so.
Yep. It's just one little area does it, and then it's, well, we're not going to fight it everywhere.
I mean, refunds kind of make sense, because, I mean, you can't really, I mean, yeah, you can kind of game it, I guess, but, like, some a two-hour games, rental or whatever, yeah. But, man, the reselling thing is going to be
just such a slippery slope.
I don't know how you would.
Difficult.
Like maybe you have to be friends with the person and have to have been friends with them for like 6 months or something like that, and then you can buy a game from them.
Right.
The way I assume it'll work is that you resell them to Valve, like specifically, and it'll just like a trade-in, kind of like, here, you get some money back.
Here's some credit back.
Oh, that could work. All right.
That's my guess.
Yeah, that could work.
Okay.
That's interesting, though. I've never considered. I mean, I think it goes also towards the thing that everybody's always worried about with Valve and with these platforms, do you own the games? And if this went through, I think it would be a precedent that, yes, indeed, you actually do own some physical thing because you can trade it in, right? It increases that case for that, right?
Well, there's like the cases of people wanting like iTunes libraries after a relative's death and stuff like that. Like, digital rights management stuff is pretty complicated, and it's gonna keep getting more complicated, so it's weird, but yeah.
iTunes is not a thing anymore, right? So what are like iTunes libraries now? Do they still have legacy stuff? Like, do you know? Because you're a iOS person anyway.
I've never actually bought anything, like any music or movies from Apple, so I wouldn't know. Like, the only thing I've bought is games, so I have no idea. Right. And I guess I bought a Japanese ringtone once with some iOS currency.
Should
for Idolmaster.
Check if you still have that.
Yeah, I should mess with that again. I bought the Pythagoras Switch song. That Pythagoras Switchy. That song.
What?
Yeah, because they had it for sale. Switchy. Yeah. With the recorder playing. Just look it up. Look it up, okay?
Okay, I will. I will. Easy. Well, okay. Next, we'll go over to this E3 2020. they put out a pitch that shows it moving more towards celebrities, consumers, and influencers. This pitch.
Great.
It's like, hey, we want to do. What if you had the Los Angeles Lakers playing a basketball video game in front of their fans? Mentioned official talent agencies like CAA and UTA, which I guess are talent agencies. So you guys are excited to see LeBron James play NBA
This seems like a way of them trying to sell tickets to people who don't really care about video games that much. Like, people who will go to, like, their YouTubers' live events, and they're like, hey, I'm gonna be here at E3, everybody. Like, woo! Check it out. And some tween will show up, and they'll be psyched, and maybe buy a video game later on. Yeah.
Maybe.
This just strikes me as them being desperate.
A little bit, yeah.
If that makes any sense, yeah. Like, totally after does. This whole contact info thing. Like, you know a fucking lot of people are not gonna go to E3 after that shit happened last year.
Sure. But,
or this year, yeah. And, like, E3's relevance is slowly just fading, I guess, with the way that the internet works and how easily information can just be, like, released, and people can just do their own E3s.
And I was very disappointed about, like, all the leaks that occurred at E3 this year.
Yeah, it's like, why even have an event?
Most of them at that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like companies are leaking it themselves. It's like the Watch Dogs thing. Like, they got pretty pissed that Watch Dogs was already, like, leaked and stuff. Like, I can totally see Ubisoft just not having a press thing next year, because they can't, no one can contain these leaks, because it just keeps happening.
No one can contain the full might of Ubisoft.
Yeah. And, like, we already saw, I wouldn't be surprised if PlayStation never does another thing at E3, because they can totally just have
their own
thing.
They didn't do one this year, did they?
Nope.
Yeah.
They're doing Tuesday this week. Tune in for State of Play.
That's State of likely Play. The Last of Us.
Confirmed for Last of Us. It's going to be.
They did say that, yeah.
The Last of Us show.
But I can see on one hand how E3 next year is going to be a big deal because of new consoles, and also because it's kind of not going to be a big deal because of new consoles, because they're going to want to be, like, putting out information a lot more than just at E3. Like, it's going to be part of it, but, and it'll definitely be kind of important, but yeah, they're really trying to sell tickets to this thing, is what it seems like to me. Right. Like, they need money.
Like,
and they're not I was just gonna say, they're not getting as many, like, actual game publishers to go, so they're trying to make up the difference with attendees, I guess, ticket sales.
Yeah. This needed to adjust a long time ago. E3 as a sort of as it was in, like, the mid to early 2000s and earlier, it just is not viable whatsoever anymore. They needed to pivot to some Gamescom equivalent ages ago, and this is, like, their way to do it, and it makes sense. And honestly, I'm totally fine with that. I read in the article they're looking at doing a Tuesday press day thing, so, like, it's only press day, and that makes, like, 1,000%.
It like a, like, kind of like a DreamHack, sort of, where there's a bunch of other shit going on, but then also have, like, big announcements and stuff. Like, there's, big tournaments going on, and other big game events and stuff like that, and have, like, I don't know, make it into more of, like... an event, I guess.
That takes a lot more work, though, than paying, like, random YouTubers to show up.
It's true.
It's going to be fine. It's going to be a bunch of YouTubers just going to wander the floor. It's going to bring everybody in. It's going to be great. We just have to pay them, like, $100,000, and we'll get it done. It's fine. We don't have to worry about anything.
But it's...
No, I agree with you, though, Jake. Like,
part of me thinks that Microsoft's thing at E3 next year is just going to be like, here's what it looks like, here's the specs, this is how much it is, peace. And just, like, not like spend any money on their presentation. Not, it's going to be like a bare bones stage. It's just Phil Spencer walks out 3 points later.
I feel
like they don't even do that. They do that before E3 on their own terms.
Probably, and then they talk about
Yeah.
like bullshit about yeah. the thing that you don't care about.
Like, more info. Remember last time they, like, had the announcement thing, and then the E3 for both of them was like, we'll have more info at E3.
Right.
And then they did. So I think it's going to go that route. It makes sense targeting more consumers with the intention of, like, hey, we're going to have another 1,500 people who are into video games here. Do you want to show off your games and, like, actually show off your games to people?
I assume, though, that it's going to be more bullshit like that Fortnite area that I saw footage of last year, and more stuff like Lego cars, but now they'll be on, like, the show floor or whatever. Like, it's going to be that kind of stuff. Like,
but ultimately, isn't that what we want? Don't we want Tony Hawk half pipes back on the show floor?
Yes, absolutely. I want Tony Hawk on the floor doing tricks.
Right.
I mean, kind of.
And that's all I want.
Yeah, I want Sonic music being pumped out of the Sega Zone.
Yep.
And like a Sonic furry dance party occurring.
Absolutely. I want.
They're going to have Crush 40 on stage.
Sponsored
by Totino's. Yes, exactly.
Yep, and Totino's. Here we go. Yeah. This. Like 20 microwaves on the side, just warming up the potatoes.
Please, there'll be toaster ovens.
Sure,
just warming them up.
Health and safety.
Not even cooking them, just warming them up. Because you can't cook them. Yeah. You just got to get them warm.
Yeah, this sounds like it has the potential to up the train wreck factor for
gonna
E3
be amazing.
Next year.
Very excited.
So I'm all for it. Go ahead. Go wild.
Looking forward to the E3 2020 supercut that we post on YouTube afterwards. Yeah. It's going to be fire.
Need a lot more people walking the show floor.
So I should check our robsbag@gmail.com for invite to E3 is what you're saying, and just make sure.
Yes.
Just keep an eye out.
Oh, totally.
We're going to show up.
Also, you
apply
need
apply for a media badge.
It's going
to
be great.
You need to check it to make sure Megan hasn't sent you those SpongeBob persona artwork yet. She said she was going to do that. She texted me later.
Great. What's your SpongeBob persona, by the way, DJ? We thought of Mr. Krabs.
We didn't discuss it with you.
What was yours? What's your? Are you a Mr. Krabs, or like you lean more like a sponge, or what are you feeling?
Like a sponge. It's not really a fursona.
It's a sponge.
Yeah, I don't know where the fursona part came in, but that's just
a sponge is a living creature, is it not?
Yeah, it's technically an animal and not a plant. So
it doesn't have to have fur, man. It can have scales.
I'm a Gary.
But Gary's Gary already.
Okay. No, that's okay.
That's what
you
I went with.
Gary.
Yeah. I have a Gary. It's fine.
The snail's the most neutral. Who's the neighbor? Who's the douchey
Squidward.
Neighbor that does the clarinet stuff?
Squidward.
Is it really Squidward? Squidward's no. Squidward's the starfish.
No,
right?
That's Patrick. What the hell? No. Have
that's
you
Patrick,
never watched SpongeBob?
Why would a starfish? Why would a starfish be named Squidward?
Squidward, the starfish.
Is Squidward a squid?
Yes.
I never made that
yes.
connection.
Hello.
Yes, he is.
Oh my god!
Never made that connection.
Is this your Phoenix Down moment?
Right possibly. Here? Does he ever? Does he like splooge his ink at one point in an episode? I don't know.
Yeah, that's in a kid's show. He goes in. It's real intense, but you know it's artfully done. I think is the important factor about it. I don't know how to take that, man. All right, next news story. We have a final news story. Digital Bros, parent company of 505 Games, has disclosed that they received a payment of 9.49 million euros from the Epic Game Store for the video game Control. Surprise you?
10.44 million US dollars. I needed to translate.
It's a pretty good chunk of change.
Yeah. I wanted to bring it up because both of you are playing Borderlands. How much do you think Borderlands got for being exclusive to the Epic Games Store?
Too much.
Oh yeah, way too much.
Does it surprise you it's that amount? Do you think it, you know, what do you think?
Sort of, but not at the same time, no, because it may have been, like, not reviewing quote-unquote well. Like, it's been, Control got, like, what, sevens? And, like, eights?
Really? I'm surprised.
I don't know. At least I think. Right. At least that's what I was seeing on, like, day one. Let's go look at Metacritic.
Hmm.
84%.
Yeah. 82 on Metacritic. User score 7.2. But it's like, the word of mouth behind that game has just been, like, crazy.
Very positive. Yeah. I haven't seen anybody saying much negative about that game at all.
Metacritic is a bad... Anyway, this one. Thank you. I remember that time. Remember when everybody hated Metacritic and now it's like a thing? Anyway. I'm old.
I'm old, really, super fan.
But.
I mean, you don't take Metacritic completely seriously. Like, you don't make decisions based on Metacritic scores.
Unless you're a video game publisher. Yeah.
Unless you're a video game publisher, which is fucked up.
Right.
But, I mean, you use it as, like, kind of a... I don't know. A guideline, right. I guess.
Yeah, a guide.
If the Metacritic score is really fucking bad, like, maybe go watch some videos of it before you buy it.
Ion Fury has a 79. Is that good or bad, Optix? What do you...
Untitled Goose Game is 78.
Yes, Untitled Goose Game.
Hentai Best Girls is TBD.
Not enough critical reviews on that one, huh?
You gotta get on that, Optix. Come on. We could get on Metacritic. You could get out there. I'll pick you up that game. You just read it, a little review, give it a score.
Please do.
I'll get you on Metacritic, I promise you. How much you want to get on Metacritic for, like, really terrible hentai game review? The only voice you can trust.
Oh, this is interesting. This article does some math with the 10.44 million. With the cut that Epic takes for $59.99, to make 10.44 million on their store, they would need to sell 175,000 copies of the game. If they did this through Steam, which takes a 30% cut, they would have to sell 227,000 copies to make that same amount of money. So, it's interesting.
So, the other thing is some people are assuming this is like a pay it forward system, like you just mentioned, to get that X amount they had to sell X amount. I wouldn't be surprised if the contract that they signed is something like, after 200,000 sales, you'll gain like 100% of like the money, the standard rate. But in the first 200,000 sales, we'll take 50% of the monies. Or something like that.
And they had to run these numbers. They had to run these numbers at some point. Yeah. But I think the point still stands that that's quite a significant amount of money just the release on one platform.
Up front,
yeah.
Especially.
Like, you know, on the consumer side, I think it's shitty having exclusivity on PC. But also, as a person that would, you know, if I thought of myself as a developer, you gotta take that goddamn money, man. You gotta get out there and, like, that's a lot of goddamn cash up front. Like, holy shit.
Get you some stability, man. It's like,
that's a nice chunk of change.
Stability is a rare commodity in the games industry and game development. It's like, I 100% understand why people take that Epic Games money. Not a big deal.
I wonder how much it...
I mean, some people think it's a big deal, but they're fucking stupid, so...
Like, I know video games are expensive to make, I just wonder how much. Like, I wonder how much, like, that was... That had to be a pretty significant portion of their budget, don't you think? That they just were able to go like, yeah, up front, we'll do this to cover our expenses on our budget. Why not?
Well, keep in mind, like, this deal probably was late in the game for Control.
Right.
For a studio like 505 or Remedy, like, they'll have put most of their money and their work up front. But for indie games and stuff, even getting that stuff late in the game is super helpful for them.
And this document that was in Italian that talked about this payment, 55% of it is going to 505 Games, the publisher, and then the rest is going to Remedy. Right. So,
Good money.
Still, yeah.
Let's make a video game.
No, that's okay. It looks very difficult. I'm good.
I'm good.
I'll just play them. Thank you.
It'll be a SpongeBob first sign.
Yeah, we're gonna make a SpongeBob hentai game. We're gonna review it ourselves. Yeah. We're gonna run it all in house.
Squidward sploosh. Yeah. Out okay. Or
that's
gotta
be enough. Yeah. That's it. That'll be episode 175. I'm so remade that.
176.
Yes. Thank you. I've been Albie. Like us on iTunes, the episode of the show. RhymesBack@gmail.com is the email address. Catch us every...
iTunes isn't even around anymore.
I don't know what to tell you.
Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. Like us on...
Is that it? Okay.
Apple so Podcasts. It's going to take like 3 weeks to get used to now that I know there's such a thing. Because I don't use Apple products, so keep myself Apple free.
That happened like a year ago.
I'm old, okay? I forget things. Alzheimer's set in. I've lost my mind.
I'm older than you.
We all are. Yeah, I know. I'm the baby here, and I'm hosting this podcast, so just easy. What else did I have to say? 4 o'clock every Sunday. Come hang out. Chat with us.
4 o'clock Eastern.
4 o'clock Eastern. Come hang out. You can watch my cat in the background
sleep. Hurry up, we gotta end. I gotta let in Heath. Heath wants to come in the study. Yeah, see, there he is.
Hi,
he's
Heath.
Like, let me in.
Excuse me. Mary, let me in.
Aw.
Oh, we got sad. You can come watch Heath. You can come watch Mr. Spider-Man, who's sitting over my shoulder. All the fun, awesome things.
He left. Yep. He gave up.
Yeah.
And with that, I wish you all a Merry Christmas, and we will see you next week on Moms in Baghdad. Take it easy, everybody, and remember, Squidward's a squid.